You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Yo! It's belly time, Amin!
Oh my god.
Let's everyone in
Miami is like, where was this last year?
Yeah, dude. Nemanja Bjelica. Looked like Magic Johnson tonight. Knee-jerk reactions are flying. It's opening night in the NBA. The Nets lose to the Bucks. The Bucks look supreme. The Lakers get walled by Steph Curry, not even playing all that well. And the Warriors win. He hits the eighth triple-double of his career. 25 of the NBA's top 75 club were announced tonight. What is going on with Ben Simmons in Philly? And what is going on with Amin's cough? I'm serious. I watched the show today. I was very nervous about you. What's happening?
The biggest news. I can't believe you skipped over the biggest news of the day. The biggest NBA news, at least, was Zion Williamson in this commercial. Who the fuck greenlit this shit?
Who on the Mountain Dew commercial?
Did they not watch? Did they not watch it first and say, "Yo, this is terrible. We can't release this to the public." They're like, "Yeah, go right ahead." I know, like I posted the screenshot from it, and my favorite thing is how many people said like, his accountant greenlit it. Is that like that's the only way you can make a money? Like, look, Zion, look fat as fuck in this commercial, or you're not getting paid. Like, could we not have anything a little bit more dynamic? And the worst part was, Tom, it's not even a good commercial. Oh, Zion, better go back to your mom's cooking. Like, what is this, like, trash-talking announcer supposed to be on 2K? I was floored that this thing, you know how hard it is for commercials to see the light of day? Where you gotta go, you show up, you shoot the shit, there's...
Yo, they got both of them. They're like, all right, we got Zion and we got Zach LaVine ready on the couch. What are we gonna be... What's the shoot? Like, what's the story?
As soon as, like, he was on camera and, like, there's a guy standing behind the camera looking at the monitor that's, like, Zion's agent, you gotta be like, we gotta kill this shit immediately.
Cut. Hey, yo, I mean, I was thinking maybe they put a Mountain Dew Zero. Like, what if they put a Mountain Dew Zero in front of them?
Well, I mean, like, it's not even, if it's just a Mountain Dew commercial, they're playing horse and drinking Mountain Dew, and he looks like that. It's like, it's bad, but you let it slide. But it's like the combination of he's fat, he's on a couch, he's playing video games, there's a huge bowl of chips and Mountain Dew. I'm like, all that's left right now is like, I don't know, like, like a pizza and like a cake and I don't know, maybe a diabetes test, right there maybe on the counter.
Maybe some like barbecue sauce on his face.
Put some barbecue sauce on his face, you know, a bib around him that's splotchy, and also some stains all over his clothes because the bib wasn't big enough for his messy, fat, disgusting eating ass. I mean, it was just like, what are you doing? Does anyone look out for this kid?
Tevin Campbell, shout outs to Tevin Campbell, in the chat says, the ad did its job. The commercial did its job. I mean, any publicity is good publicity if you're Mountain Dew tonight. No, we're leading our show on Lebatard with thousands and millions of people talking about Mountain Dew. I mean,
sure. Okay. Mountain Dew's happy. I'm talking about Zion. I'm talking about Zion's people. What about them? Are we talking about Zion in a good way? Any good publicity?
I don't know who you just turned into, but I want you to do the entire show like that. What voice did you just impersonate there?
That's the voice of someone who is completely frustrated that people could miss the point. That someone could miss Mountain Dew. Everyone's talking about Mountain Dew. Huzzah for Mountain Dew. The brand is saved. No one knew what Mountain Dew was until tonight, apparently. What about Zion?
It's not a good situation in New Orleans. We talked about it today. We taped the Meadowlarkers. Shout out to Kate Fagan. Shout out to all of the folks who listen to our show with Howard Bryant. I mean, you weren't on today, but I guess, you know, you have better things to do / be on the actual Dan Lebatard show today.
What'd you guys talk about?
We talked about Ben Simmons and the player empowerment movement and whether Kyrie and Ben Simmons and Zion Williamson are dropping, you know, double birds to front offices, and the front offices in the NBA are like throwing it right back. Is that unless you're LeBron James, player empowerment only goes so far, trying to wrestle back the power from the front offices and the owners and the execs. And it doesn't seem very professional what they're doing in their situations or expecting that their teams will just fall over, bend over backwards for these stars. And we talked a lot about it. Go listen. I think it's going to drop either tonight or tomorrow morning. Anyway, I mean, this is the NBA tip-off post-game show. We have to talk some basketball here.
Okay.
Stephen Curry didn't look good. He had a triple-double. Nemanja Bjelica looked amazing. And for the first time in a long time, I mean, I felt like we watched the actual, like, Warriors from their dynasty. Like, tonight, the ball was moving. They had Andre Iguodala out there. They might not have Klay Thompson. They might not have Kevin Durant. But it really did feel like we were watching the old Warriors tonight.
Yeah, no, and it's a perfect case of what Golden State's philosophy has always been, or at least it's been under Steve Kerr, which is the offense will provide, right? If you pass and move, the offense will find you. The offense will create open looks and open layups, and that's what happened tonight. You want to? Oh my God, I hate autoplay videos. Jesus Christ, I just want to see a box score, assholes.
Wait, hey, I'm the numbers guy. What do you need?
No, I got a box score in front of me. I was looking at Looney 3 of 5. I was looking at Bjelica 6 of 7. Iguodala 4 of 7. Like Toscano Anderson 2 of 3. These guys all got nice, easy shots, makeable shots. And that's out of the offense. And the offense, of course, is predicated on the immense amount of attention that Steph Curry attracts. So even though he shoots 5 of 21, it's just him being on the floor has a massive impact.
It's called gravity. I mean, gravity, for those who don't know, gravity is essentially when Steph Curry is on the floor and the defense has to pay so much attention to him because he can shoot it from half court in that it creates open shots for everybody else. And I think Nemanja actually looked at this dude who is on the Miami, glued to the Miami bench. I loved that acquisition for Miami last year at the deadline, getting what I think is one of the most offensively gifted big men coming off the bench in the league. Can't play defense for a lick. He had some nice, high effort plays tonight against LeBron. But when you look at the gravity that Steph brings to your offense, you think last year they would have a better offensive rating than 20th. They were the 20th best offense in the NBA last year, despite Stephen Curry leading the league in scoring. He averaged 32 points a game and the offense was garbage most of the time. And the reason is because I don't think they had enough basketball players, enough guys who can move the ball, had a lot of like sensory of where Nemanja, Draymond, Green, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Lee. They were moving. They were cutting. They were hitting open shooters. And the Lakers' defense, they couldn't handle it. Now, Stephen Curry, again, triple-double. He had a 5-for-21 shooting, but that gravity, like, man, it's crazy watching how much attention he draws. And Avery Bradley's going to try to stop him or try to, you know, guard him one-on-one, but there's only so much what you can do. There's only so much you can do when you have so many good passers around him to take advantage of all that attention.
So to be fair, last year, it's not just their guys who aren't here anymore. It's also the guys that you see right now, the Jordan Pools, the Juan Toscano-Andersons, the Damian Lees. Those guys didn't know how to play. I mean, they now they figured it out. Now they figured out the offense. Last year, there was a lot of gives at the beginning of the year. They were giving Steph the ball and watching. And so that's, you know, that's a huge, huge thing for them is that they got a year, and in some cases, 2 years. Like for guys like Damian Lee, who was obviously there the year before when everything was really trash. And I believe Juan was as well. They got 2 years of having to learn this offense, even though they weren't very good at it. So now you put them in a position where we're playing one of the best teams in the conference on opening night. These guys aren't starstruck and they aren't shell-shocked. And also, they know where to go. They know where to be. And then on top of that, like you said, you add an Iguodala and a Bielitsa, and the IQ goes, it goes up significantly. And that gives you what you saw tonight. I mean, what you saw, I think the Lakers are better than what we saw.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is like the Warriors. This was a fluke or whatever. They got hot. This is their offense. This is how they're going to do it.
I think if you were worried about Russell Westbrook's fit on this Lakers team with Anthony Davis doing a lot of ball handling next to LeBron James doing a lot of ball handling, none of your concerns were unvalidated tonight. Russell Westbrook looked like he was missing, like he was invisible in this game.
First of all, real quick, shout out to Dr. Sideburns. I love me some Levitard, but Barkley and them boys on. Come on now. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because I did the same thing. I was actually watching Late Night with James Corden, and I stopped to log into some other shit to let them know I wasn't watching them because Corden was on. And then I went back to it. What the fuck is that, man? You wanted your shout out? Congratulations, good Dr. Sideburns. Welcome to the show.
The Westbrook thing is I don't know. I don't want to make too much of it, but like preseason, he didn't look great. And in this offense, I don't know how much they're going to need him.
They started the first half. Every basically dead ball or set play, he was the one bringing the ball up. He was initiating, and LeBron was just kind of chilling off ball. And part of it, Tom, is that's part of the problem, is that LeBron's idea of like how do I share is to just stand over there. All right, your turn. Do whatever you want. Like there's no part that's this, like think about Curry. Curry gives up the ball and the stuff he does. And I get it. Look, I'm just finished the fucking point, man. So Curry gives up the ball, he moves, he creates a diversion, and then there's things that happen. LeBron gives up the ball. He stands over there on the wing. He's like, all right, man, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not making excuses for Russ. Like, oh, that's why he didn't play well. But that doesn't help at all. It doesn't help when, you know, there is no effort to kind of create an actual offensive system rather than just you and AD pick a role. Everybody else just stand over there. That's just way too simplistic.
Yeah, and I just think they've got to figure something. I don't know if it's bringing Russell Westbrook off the bench. I don't know if they're going to go to that extent, but I do think they need to stagger.
Hold on. When I brought that was a Zach Harper. Who was I with on that? When I brought up the concept of maybe Russ wouldn't be in finishing lineups, everyone lost their mind. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm not saying that he's not going to be in finishing lineups. I just say maybe because it's not a great fit out there. It's not a good. And by the way, there were other things that I, for instance, the idea that Kent Bazemore is a shooter or a spacer because he shot, what did he shoot, like 39, 40% from three last year. And I'm like,
yeah,
I think there's a difference between hitting your shots and being a shooter.
Respect.
Yes, right. The respect factor. J.J. Redick can go 0-for-9. I'm on his ass as a defender on the 10th one. as if he hasn't missed a single one. Kent Bazemore misses two. I'm going to start playing this way. I'm going to start cheating and sagging, and that just doesn't help.
If he's 2 for 2, I might just sag off of him too. Just be like, force him to feel like he's hot. Evian sucks, by the way. It means drinking Evian water. It's terrible. It's awful water. I can't believe you're drinking that. Get out of here with Evian. It's trash water. Shouts to Fiji water. Russell Westbrook -23 tonight. Look, not to make too much of a one game sample size, but that was reflective of his game tonight. That was reflective of his performance. Not great shooting. He had a dunk at the end of the game in garbage time. Great. Not a fan of Russell Westbrook on this team in 2021-22. They might need him when LeBron James wants to, like, either, you know, take care of some injury and be off for a couple weeks, or Anthony Davis the same way. But he's, to me, he's going to be an innings eater for a team that doesn't really need it right now at the beginning of the season. We'll see how things at the end of the season.
Well, let me ask you something also. I don't think Frank Vogel has ever been known as a creative offensive mind, right? Like, he makes his bones on the defensive end.
Defense, yep.
Like, yep. To me, if those guys are all healthy, they're going to have to come up with some more creative ways of using them other than rolling the ball out like that.
Yeah, yeah. LeBron looked fucking amazing. Amazing. 37 years old in 2 months, and he's looking as good as he's ever had, except for his hairline. Did you notice he's got a very closely cut?
Yeah, man. And you know, it's not even about the hairline now. It's now he's got the halo issue that Durant's dealing with. So I think he's trying to cut it low so you can't tell the difference between here and here. But you could tell because the skin is just too smooth and shiny from overexposure.
He has a new free throw routine this year, Amin. I love tracking this. Of course, did it for Metalark and Lebatard show during the playoffs with Giannis, and how he was going, you know, 17 seconds at the free throw line. It was a huge deal. Dan's going to make fun of me till the cows come home about being so obsessed with free throws. But LeBron James in a 2016.
Where do the cows go where they got to come home?
I mean, I think to the yard, right? All the cows go to the yard.
So is the yard not home?
Yeah, I think they go to the stable. Is there a stable? Is there any farmers in the audience here? Cowhouse. Bryant Cook. Thank you, Bryant. The cowhouse.
Scuba's asking, is there still live? No, Scuba. This has actually all been pre-recorded hours ago.
Yep.
We're just able to communicate through the magical portals of the time-space continuum.
Yes. LeBron is doing another free throw routine. It's his only weakness is free throws. His only
care to demonstrate this will play well as a podcast tomorrow morning. Care to demonstrate his new routine?
It's just one.
All right.
One dribble.
Thomas stand up. One dribble.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I? Giannis, this is weird. It looks like I have I'm very excited to talk about LeBron's free throws.
We're pitching the tent there.
Pitching the tent. So I think LeBron in 2016-2017 season, I mean, over under how many different free throw routines he had? 19 and a half. Over under on different free throw routines that he tried in the 2016-2017 season. Over under at 19 and a half. Let me hear in the chat what people think. Over under on different new routines that LeBron used in 2016-2017. 19 and a half over under. Let's see.
We got a bunch of unders here. Under.
Under. Under.
Over for Nathan Mimosa.
Michael under. Smith. The Michael Smith?
No, I think it's a Michael Smith. Over for Rock and Roll Fool. Over for Aaron Bustamante. Over for Kaiser Sose.
The answer is under. The answer is under. Yeah.
19 and a half, like really aggressive guys.
It was 18 different routines, and mostly it's one. Like most NBA players have one free throw routine. LeBron James had 18. He's also the guy who has taken at least 100 technical free throws. This is my favorite part of the LeBron free throw story. LeBron James takes technical free throws even though he's not good at them. Mm-hmm. He is the worst technical free throw shooter in NBA history. He's normally a 74% free throw shooter. On technical free throws, he's at 67%. And mind you, he's on teams with Ray Allen and Kyrie and J.R. Smith, some of the best shooters, Kyle Korver. And he continually taking free throws over these guys.
It's called exerting one's dominance, Tom. It's an alpha male move.
It is. It really is. So
how do you parse out only technical free throw shots?
In the play-by-play databases, you can look that up. Nice. Yeah, like in basketballreference.com, shout out to basketball reference. You can stathead.com. You can't actually do like a query for it, but they do list like on all of his free throws that you can pull up all of his free throws and check how many were techs.
Easy, Dave Chappelle.
Yes. Do we want to talk about the Nets Bucks game tonight? The Bucks win big 127 to 101 or something like that. The Bucks look great.
I'm surprised that there wasn't more action on them in terms of the betting lines to win it all, because they returned damn near everybody. They've got the reigning, I mean, he's not the reigning MVP, but he was like a year removed from being MVP of the league for the second time in his prime. I mean, they've got stability. They've got a system that they're really comfortable with. I kind of feel like, why are the Bucks so forgotten in this conversation when you have a team like the Lakers return three guys from last year?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is because people are infatuated with the idea of the Brooklyn Nets and their big three. That's it. I think people are talking themselves into Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. And of course, Kyrie Irving not going to be playing for the foreseeable future. But still, I think the idea of two MVPs on one team with James Harden and Kevin Durant, people are talking themselves into Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. But that team tonight, their depth was absent. Like Patty Mills, of course, great acquisition for them. Our guy Mark Stein picked him for the sixth man of the year. He had 7 for 7 from downtown, and no one else on the bench scored. I mean, no one else on the entire bench for the Brooklyn Nets scored or a bucket.
Bless his heart, Javon Carter tried, though. He tried his damnedest.
Yo, Javon Carter, dude, almost had a 19 trillion tonight. A 19 trillion. He played 19 minutes, 0 points, 0 assists, 0 steals. Almost club 19 trillion. Shout out to Javon Carter, making all of us with bad hairlines feel great about themselves.
Especially since he's like 24 or some shit like that.
Should we be worried about their depth? Like, I know Kyrie obviously being out. Are you worried about the Brooklyn Nets' depth after their big two?
Yes, but I don't think it's a Kyrie question. To me, I wonder, James Johnson, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, is that a big man rotation that I can count on? My guess is no. And that to me is the issue. I thought Nick Claxton played really well tonight.
He played okay. Yeah.
In terms of just being what they needed in the middle, but he's just not enough. They need like three more Nick Claxtons. So they could sub him out, bring in another Nick Claxton. They don't have any of that. I think that's the issue that you're dealing with the Nets, is that Millsap, I mean, only played 5 minutes, so it's hard to judge him off of that. But like LaMarcus Aldridge was doo-doo. And James Johnson hasn't been good in quite a while, to be honest with you. So it just was like they were just bodies.
Go Deeks.
Yeah. They're just bodies out there to eat up minutes, but not because they're any particular amount of effective or impactful. Even Blake Griffin. I don't think Blake Griffin's a starting caliber big at this point of his career. Mm-hmm. I think off the bench he's fine, but like that's your starting four. I don't know, man. Like I think the net again, it's people look at the Nets' strength, which is very top heavy, and they kind of neglect all the other things you need to be consistently good. Because at the end of the day, yes, is Kevin Durant good enough to erase all of those deficiencies? Sure. Do you want him doing that on October 20th or October 19th or whatever? Like, come on, guys. It's 82 games. We got to be able to figure out a way. Another autoplay. Why does it delay? Why doesn't it just autoplay immediately when I load the site? Why would it wait 10 minutes and then start?
Because they want to annoy you as much as possible at 1 a.m. I mean, that's the idea, is that you're never going to forget this ad because it just pissed you off that much.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Jrue Holiday exits with a heel contusion. MRI apparently came back clean. Again, like, this should have been a much more competitive game from the Nets. Their depth is an issue going off of this game. I am very surprised that Bruce Brown is seemingly out of the rotation. Got almost no burn tonight after being like an essential piece of their team last year.
Yeah.
Really good role player, does all the dirty work, switchability. He's someone who can handle the ball if need be, being a point guard at his previous stops, but thick and big and can rebound and guard bigs at times. Bruce Brown wasn't anywhere to be seen tonight. And it's game one of 82, but still, that's a surprise to me considering how much he meant to that team. Glue guy last year for the Brooklyn Nets in very many ways after he was acquired.
Yeah, what do you think that is?
I think they're probably Steve Nash is trying to integrate the new pieces, maybe because preseason kind of disjointed for all these teams with big names is that they want to rest them. You know, the LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, right. Blake Griffin, maybe they want to get some looks at some of the new acquisitions and maybe take this first couple weeks as an extended preseason. But he's way too good to be glued to the bench. Mm-hmm.
I agree. And I think I blame LaMarcus Aldridge.
For taking his spot? You just want to blame LMA.
I want to, LMA. Tom.
Can you clear that? Can you, Stu Gotts, can you please clear that phlegm in your throat, please?
All right, Tom. No one wants to hear about Bruce Brown talk. They want to hear another B word. Ben Simmons.
Yes. Was it a phone? Was it not a phone? Sources are telling me it was not a phone that was in his pocket. Monday. This is now we're in Wednesday morning recording this. Doc Rivers kicked him out of practice straight up. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. You don't want to participate. You don't want to be a real teammate and participate in these drills. You're out. This is the fascinating thing to me about the situation. I mean, Doc Rivers isn't Daryl Morey's guy. Doc Rivers is supposed to be the coach, the championship coach, the Ubuntu to get star players to like each other, to play with each other, at least come together for the greater good of the team. He's supposed to be the star, the star maker, right? This situation has not worked out for Doc Rivers. He hasn't. He was brought in very much to make sure that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were maximized. And none of this has gone the way that the Sixers have hoped.
This is okay. So a couple of things. I've worked in the media now. This is starting my ninth season. Before that, I worked in the league for just about 10 years. I worked in the league, right? Different teams. Players get kicked out of practice every fucking day, man. That's not a new thing.
Okay. So you're saying this is a non-story. I mean, why don't
I'm not saying it's a non-story. I'm saying, why would they leak that? Why would that be leaked? Why he was kicked out of practice? That A, he was kicked out of practice. B, why he was kicked out of practice? And C, for the team to suspend him for being kicked out of practice. That all seems
the suspension came out first. I mean, I feel like the leak about him being suspended for conduct detrimental to the team leaked.
Regardless of the order, I mean, he's suspended because of what happened, even though the suspension came out first before everything else. But still, the idea is like, why is all of that out there? In the same way that if he's got a hyperized or whatever type of medical thing in his pocket and people are erroneously calling it a phone, teams are usually really quick to correct shit.
Yeah.
Really quick. They seem to let that one just sit out there.
Yeah.
Oops. Yep. Did people get that one wrong? Sorry. So there's a lot of, I don't know, man. I think Philly is playing a dangerous game because I don't think anyone wins when you do this. You won. You won. He came back. You won. So the idea here is, and I'm not trying to let him off the hook either, but I'm just saying, like, doing all of this tit for tat shit isn't going to help anybody. It certainly is not going to help the trade value, which should be number one paramount priority for Daryl Morey and for the Sixers. But they're just letting it ride. So, like, I'm like, okay, you're gonna, and then Joel Embiid comes out and says, I'm not going to babysit him, and I don't care about that guy, whatever. And this is obviously literally out 48 hours after they told us, hey, no, we love him. We're happy he's back and all that. Like, it can't be like that, man. You can't abandon ship on the strategy that quickly. You knew he was disgruntled. You knew he didn't want to be here. He just came here because he somehow just figured out he wasn't going to get his money back.
Yeah. How did that get miscalculated?
I don't know, man.
Like, Rich Paul and their team at the agency, or whether it's Ben Simmons at Clutch, like, whoever was guiding him financially on this. Like, I think it came out today, a report came out today that he hasn't gotten paid, period. Even though he's shown up for practice, the fact that he hasn't gotten paid.
Because the money's in escrow. The money's in escrow, and they just withheld the first four game checks that he missed. That's roughly about $1.5 million. So now, technically, he could start getting paid, except for the fact that he missed. He's going to miss this next suspended game, so that's another 300 some odd grand on top of that. Plus, there are a whole bunch of fines for missing practice and training camp and all that other stuff. So they're going to get their pound of flesh.
I mean, when you look at this situation, it's in everybody's best interest to have Ben Simmons happy, playing basketball, and being invested in the team. Because the more that he plays, the higher chances that Daryl Morey and their front office and Elton Brand are going to sign up, get a better deal, and finally come to terms on a trade, right? Because if Ben Simmons continues to act like a child at these things, and I remember Bomani Jones tweeting about this as it was happening, he's like, what is he, 5 years old? Like, reading the tea leaves or reading the reports about, you know, he did not want to play defense. Doc Rivers, hey, Ben, get out here. Let's run these drills, a shell drill. Let's get out here. Was that? No? You don't want to play?
But, like, I guess.
Get out. All right, go. Fine. Okay. Get out. All right, fine. And then he drops his ball and leaves. It's just, this isn't helping you, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, this attitude is not helping you get out of this situation.
Well, the funny thing is, I should clarify something, because I've been someone from the very beginning. I said, look, if you want to get traded, you don't sit out. You show up and you make everybody uncomfortable. But you can't do it by outright breaking rules. Like, I didn't know that I had to clarify that. Like, you have to do, like, what are you asking? I'm doing what you asked me to do, right? So, like, James Harden last year was like, what do you want? I showed up. What do you want? I played in the game. But you play. They can't fine you for playing poorly. They can't suspend you for playing poorly. They can suspend you for insubordination, though.
Yep.
So the idea isn't sit out the drill, say, I don't feel like it. The idea is you go, you do the drill, you do it so horseshit. They just say, all right, just sit down over there. They can't suspend you for being horseshit. They can suspend you for not doing it, though.
Right. Like, if you're the Indiana Pacers and you're like, before this happened, you had Malcolm Brogdon and maybe a protected first round pick in there. If I'm the Indiana Pacers, I'm like, yeah, after this, I'm removing that first round pick. I'm done. I don't have to. I'm taking things off the table rather than adding them. That's what's happening here. And I don't think Elton Brand and Daryl Morey are going to be like, yeah, now we're going to do it. Like, if we've gotten to this point, I don't see Elton Brand and Daryl Morey sitting here and being like, yeah, we're going to trade them for 30 cents on the dollar. I just don't think so.
I mean, I think here's my thing. Here's my theory. I floated it on the show on Tuesday, which is as long as Damian Lillard is out there and Portland is not a resolved situation, I'm not trading Ben Simmons anywhere. Because I know if he comes on the market, no one's touching that package. No one could come up with a better deal than Ben Simmons, a Ben Simmons-centric deal, because of his age, because of the way he plays and, you know, what Portland needs and all that. So if you are Daryl Morey, there's a part of this where you're like, it's all worth it. We're going to wait. Now, I saw Casey Holdall, who is a Blazers employee. He does kind of their...
He's their reporter, yeah.
Their reporter. Media.
Yeah.
So massive grain of salt when I say this, but he tweeted out today something along the lines of a Dame quote about, I'm not going anywhere, which is... We've never seen that before in the NBA, right? Like, where anyone says that. Let me find, I've got the exact.
Mind you, right, Russell here. Westbrook, by the way, is on his fourth team in like 3 years. Okay. Just keep that in mind for those who remember OKC lifer Russell Westbrook. He's been on four different teams.
Yeah. Here's the quote. Quote, I'm not leaving Portland. Adversity is going to hit. There's going to be tough times. So if it starts off rocky or if it starts out as a struggle, I won't be happy about it. Nobody would. But I'm not going to jump ship and bail out when that happens. I mean, he can say that if they start the season 2-20.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Daryl Morey has to at least hold out for, just to see how Portland starts. Because the last thing you want, Tom, is to trade Ben Simmons. And then like a month later, Damian Lillard says, get me out of here. And you're like,
yep.
I did it for Buddy Hield and I could have gotten Damian Lillard.
And he did give a shout out to Chauncey Billups and saying, I want to see this through with Chauncey and I want to play hard and see this through. Like, what if they do get off to a 3-17 start and they fired Chauncey Billups? Like, things can go pretty sideways in the NBA. And the other thing, you made a good point earlier, I want to get back to Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. He blew up that practice that you were reporting. You were a central figure in that story of Jimmy Butler a couple years ago in Minnesota in an expiring year. Went in against the first teamers, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, et cetera, and playing with the third team just busted their asses in practice. But people think about that moment and don't remember the fact that Jimmy Butler played in the regular season with them after that. Yeah.
Well, he started the very first game of the regular season. I was at their home opener. They introduced him. The entire crowd booed. Louder than I've ever seen a home crowd boo a home player. Every time he touched the ball, Tom, they booed every single time he touched it. And what he did was he went out there and he kicked ass up and down the floor. And literally, I swear to God, by the end of the game, they gave him a standing ovation. Like, if you want to know, like, what's the badass way to burn your way out of town, it's what Jimmy Butler did in Minnesota. He went there, he kicked everybody's ass, he mocked them, he mocked the front office. He mocked the coaching staff. He may or may not have been wearing a Rolex. Went out to the first game. Had the crowd boo him. Made them give him a standing ovation by the end of that game as he won. And he shot like 9 for 9 from the field. It was a ridiculous performance. I mean, it was like one of the greatest games that I've seen in person. And that's how you do it. That's, you remind everybody the reason why you want to get out of here is because I'm too good for all of this.
Okay, so is it going to be the Jimmy Butler route where he's going to make amends, he's going to come in, and he's going to play for a couple weeks and bust his ass and play great, and they're going to give him standing ovations in Philly? I'm gonna fade that very hard. Or is it going to be like a Kawhi situation where he's going to like show up here and there and play randomly throughout the season just to check in, right? Just to clock in and clock out.
I mean, this is not a good start to the situation. Let's start there, right? If the plan was, hey, he's going to come back and play. He's already got suspended. Game, like, we haven't even played a game yet. He's already suspended? That's pretty amazing. I think he's a little sloppy in the way he's approached this whole situation. And I think the Sixers are a little too heavy-handed in the way they've approached the situation. And like I said, the way both sides are behaving right now, this doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the Sixers get good return on value. It doesn't help Ben Simmons get traded.
When Ben Simmons does get traded, I don't know what we're going to see, because the underrated aspect of this is that he has been so vindictive with the organization now. I could totally see the 76ers just shipping him to Sacramento and just being done with it, right? Like, Ben Simmons, like, you want to complain about playing here in Philly? Like, we're going to send you to a market that is going to be a very forgettable franchise for you. Like, well, I can't imagine Ben Simmons is going to be like, yes, I get a fresh start in Sacramento or Indiana. Like, I can't imagine he's going to be super excited about that. And so are we going to start this all over again?
At the same time, I would say that for David Aldridge reported that Sacramento is now on the approved list for Ben Simmons. So maybe maybe he's not.
I mean, I hope they are, right? Like, I hope they are. I don't think beggars can be choosers. If you're begging to be traded and you're not willing to participate in team activities, I don't think you can have a list. I don't think you can. Like, Ben Simmons shouldn't have a list that he's trying to get. Damn, I mean, I'm shitting on the Pacers from Keith O'Brien. It's not, I mean, look, it's not, I'm just looking at this from a situation of, look at where AD went to LA. Look at where James Harden went to Brooklyn. And I don't think going to Cleveland or Indiana or these flyover states is really what Ben Simmons wants. I just don't. I don't imagine he wants that. Maybe he wants to be in a quiet city that isn't going to be all over national TV. But to me, it's just an interesting thing that the Sixers don't have to capitulate to his trade demand wherever he wants to go. They can send him wherever they want.
I mean, they can and they can't, right? Because the whole idea is, if I don't want to go, for instance, to Minnesota, I can do the Steve Francis and say, you send me to Minnesota, I ain't going to play. I don't want to be here. And then Minnesota says, wait a second, why am I giving up a bunch of stuff for someone I'm going to have to convince to want to be here? So that in turn depresses his market value. So, I mean, there's no one, you can't act unilaterally, because there's always going to be an element of the leverage being lost in the process by a guy who doesn't want to go somewhere. Now, again, the other side of it is he might get so miserable in Philly that he would welcome a trade anywhere. And that's a different story. But I think ultimately he needs, what he needs to do is he needs to play, honestly.
He needs to play
at this point. At this point, right? Like, because he didn't follow the mean guidelines from the beginning. Now he put in a position, bro, you kind of got to play now. You got to play well. But Tom, speaking of Sacramento, I want to get your vibe on this, because we talk a lot about how the players have so much power and player empowerment, whatever. I kind of feel like we reached an era where, like, these agents just need to shut up and go away.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
So Marvin Bagley didn't get extended. He's not the only one in his draft class who didn't get extended. DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick, didn't get extended either. And we're going to have a conversation about that in a second. But Marvin Bagley, who has not played well thus far in his career, regardless of how you feel about him, as a prospect or whatever, we can all say, thus far, he hasn't been a good NBA player. His agent comes out with this statement today that I was just like, all I could think of was shut up. Just shut up and go
from
away.
Marvin Bagley.
You're doing this for Marvin Bagley? Are you kidding me? So this was the statement, as I filibustered perfectly there. This is from Excel Sports official Twitter account, at XLSM. Sacramento has informed Marvin Bagley he is not in the opening night rotation, which is completely baffling. Completely baffling. It's clear they have no plans for him in the future, and yet passed on potential deals at last year's deadline and this summer based on, quote, value. Instead, they chose to bring him back but not play him, a move completely contradictory to their value argument. This is a case study mismanagement by the Kings organization. Look, I have a long, long history of mocking Sacramento as a staff, record label, and a motherfucking crew. It's not a well-run organization. The owner is meddlesome and is clueless. The fan base is delusionary, almost as delusionary as their star player. But Bagley having any sort of demands is just preposterous. It's preposterous that they would have any sort of kind of, hey, this shouldn't be said about, or this should be done about me or whatever. Like, shut up, play your contract out, go sign. They're not going to extend a qualifying offer. Go sign somewhere for minimum, prove us all wrong, and then go cash out. But this thing where you're going to sit here and we're going to listen to you. Actually, no, if Bagley was the one doing the bitching, if it was Bagley's dad or whatever, I'd take it, because players all believe they should be better than what they are, whatever. But this thing where the agents now are front and center, give me a break, man. And Jeff Schwartz is a great agent. He's been around for a long time, represented Paul Pierce, he represented Jason Kidd. Dude's accomplished. He's not like a two-bit agent who's trying to make a name for himself. But it feels like they're all behaving that way nowadays, huh, Tom?
Well, I'm looking at it like, if I'm higher on the list than Marvin Bagley and I don't get an extension, where's my statement, right? Like if I'm a player of a higher caliber than Marvin Bagley and I'm like, wait, where was my like shot at the Sacramento Kings? Or if I'm another player on his roster being like, why didn't you come out like talking that sauce for me? Right?
Thomas Taylor,
that he extended the olive branch to Marvin Bagley, which granted, like averaged 14-7 for the last 3 years, hasn't really gotten better, been injury prone in his 3 years in the league. Like, I'm just looking at this and saying, for him, like how many people were like, you know what? That Jeff Schwartz, great agent. You know, I really think they stuck it to the Sacramento Kings. Like, what is that? Yeah, I don't know.
So Thomas Taylor in the chat says, it ain't about demands, LOL. Thanks for the laugh. Did you really laugh when you typed that, or did you at least smile? They mismanaging a player, and the agent is saying it. WTF. Look, it's mismanaged if he was good. You're not fucking good. That's the problem. It's like Rashawn Holmes is beating you out in a rotation. Like, there's a stronger conversation about, yo, who are you, Marvin Bagley, to have any sort of hurt feelings or feelings of mismanagement? It was like Marquise Chris a couple of years ago. Is this a great organization? No. Do they do things right? No. Also, have you been this amazing breath of fresh air that was stifled by this organization? No. You know how I know? Because I've seen guys in that organization be mismanaged and still do pretty well. DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins was mismanaged to all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Still managed to be really freaking good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Isaiah Thomas still managed to be really good. De'Aaron Fox still manages to be really good. Not as good as Ja Morant, though.
Halliburton, another guy. Like, I was there with you, man. I just picked it up. I'm sorry. Well, like, A, he got real strong, and we know how that goes in the NBA when you put on like 15 pounds of muscle. It always works out great. Remember when Roy Hibbert did that? He tried to get like 20 pounds of weight, and he was showing all these videos on Instagram about him putting on like lifting huge, incredible amounts of weight. I remember coaches hitting me up and being like, that is a bad thing. Like, those knees are not going to hold up. If Roy Hibbert is going to add 20 pounds of muscle on that frame, good luck. He's not going to get up and down the floor. I don't know how we got onto Roy Hibbert. The DeAndre Ayton thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is so weird. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Tell me.
I was watching the Charlotte Dallas preseason game the other night. I was there at the game, and I'm watching your boy Igor Kokoskov with Luka Doncic on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking, Phoenix could have had that. Phoenix had Igor Kokoskov as their head coach and drafted DeAndre Ayton number one overall. And then when he goes and plays amazingly in the playoffs, had an iffy finals, they decide to not give him the max deal. And whether you think he's deserving of the max deal or not, it's just a very, very odd sequence of events is that they take DeAndre Ayton number one overall, despite Luka Doncic and his ascension in the NBA and Trae Young. We can talk about that, whether he was worthy of being a number one pick. But it's so often in the NBA that you see a guy like DeAndre Ayton validate his number one pick status, have a great postseason, and then they double down and reward him for his performance. I was stunned that Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who went to University of Arizona, who picked DeAndre Ayton, the Wildcat from Arizona, number one overall, and didn't give him a max deal. So, I was stunned by this.
Sam Amick, who I wanted to have on the show, but he couldn't do it because he was at the Lakers-Warriors game. Turns out, by the way, trying to book guests for this thing, impossible. Because everyone was either on the East Coast and not as crazy as us to stay up this late, or on the West Coast, they're going to that game. The Lakers, everyone's at that Lakers-Warriors game, by the way. Apologies for anyone who say, I thought you guys were going to have guests. I thought so, too, until I realized, hey, this thing's happening at 1 a.m. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have done it had I remembered West Coast versus East Coast time. Because I was thinking, oh, yeah, 10:30, we'll get this and we'll knock this out. It'll be great. And then I realized, oh, no.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yep. Yeah.
So, but Sam Amick wrote a really nice kind of I've never actually seen anything as thorough as this. He interviewed James Jones, and then he talked to Bill Duffy and Nima. I don't know who Nima's last name is. This is the problem when you get to know. This is the problem when you get to know agents by their, but like in person first before to their work, because then you know them, you know who they are, but then you're like, oh, what's his last name?
Yeah, just get to the point before you cough up a lung. Anyways, please.
So not coughing up a lung, it was just a little peck or whatever. But basically, he got both sides of the story on the record, and so James Jones says they wanted a 5-year max, and they didn't want to listen to anything else. Phoenix felt like they couldn't offer a 5-year max because if they did, along with Booker's 5-year max, they would have had the maximum 2 you can have on a roster. There's a CBA rule saying that you cannot have more than 2 players who have been designated rookie extension of the 5-year max. So that's Phoenix's stance, and that they wanted to do a 3-year max or a 4-year max
to
keep that slot open for further trades. Bill Duffy and Nima say that was never broached. They never talked about any sort of max. They only talked about a less than max. You know, the smaller extension number. And not only that, but they said had they mentioned about keeping that slot open, that conversation would have been like they would have been open to that conversation.
Right. Right.
So clearly there's a disconnect there. But most importantly, Tom, I have it on pretty good authority that Robert Sarver told DeAndre Ayton directly to his face, you are not a max player.
Yo.
So even this explanation, which makes a lot of sense and actually is very smart of the Suns to say, hey, we have an opportunity to go out there and get one of these elite players who have received this. We need to keep that opportunity open. That's actually a really smart rebuttal. The problem with all that is, reportedly, allegedly, Robert Sarver told DeAndre Ayton to his face, you are not a max player. And so it's a weird, weird situation because on the one hand, James Jones is pointing to all the money they've invested this offseason, an extension for Shamet, an extension for Mikal Bridges, and bringing back Cameron Payne and Chris Paul. Look at all the money we spent. And we were prepared to spend another $120 on DeAndre. On the other hand, we have A, this guy's entire resume of work as an owner, and B, this reported interaction between him and DeAndre Ayton, which comes down to a very familiar Robert Sarver refrain, which is, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pay you anything. This is the deal. Take it or leave it.
Sarver, man, it's such a crazy story that one of the more incompetent owners in the NBA got to the finals last year. I mean, it's just, I don't know. We were just a few years away from Kevin Arnovitz's. Yeah, you're right. Wow. Wow. Just did the Owen Wilson. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Trivia, and then we'll wrap this up. Amin El Hassan, I've got some Tom's trivia for you.
Yeah, let's do it. And you can play along too in the chat.
Stephen Curry tonight beat the Lakers. Stephen Curry and the Warriors beat the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. LeBron James now is 23 and 17 Curry is now 23-17 against LeBron James in the regular season. In the postseason, Stephen Curry is 15-8 against LeBron James in the postseason. Which player in the NBA does Stephen Curry have the most wins against in the regular season? Which player?
Hold on. Does that 15-8 include the play-in game or no?
I don't think so. I think this is just the playoffs. Okay. I don't think that counts. But which player does Stephen Curry have the most wins against in his career?
So it's got to be someone in the Western Conference or who played a lot in the Western Conference and someone whose team would have been on the short end of the stick more often than not in the Western Conference. And it had to be someone who probably played the majority of that time when Steph and his team got good, which would have been 2012, 2013. So since 2012, between 2012 and now, well, the Lakers were really bad, but Kobe only played four seasons. I got three names in my mind. I got Kobe, I got Chris Paul slash one of the other Clippers, and I've got James Harden.
James Harden has the fourth most L's against Stephen Curry. He is.
Are any Stephen Clippers Curry. In that top three?
Yeah. So there is all Clippers in 1, 2, 3, and 5. James Harden is four. So who is number one?
Blake Griffin.
No.
DeAndre Jordan.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. DeAndre Jordan. Very good. I don't think anyone in the chat got that. DeAndre Jordan, 30 wins against DeAndre Jordan, 30-14 in the regular season. Against Chris Paul, he is 28-22. Stephen Curry is 28 wins against Chris Paul, 30 wins against DeAndre Jordan. And actually, count another one, 31 against DeAndre Jordan, who is a teammate of LeBron James in LA. So 31 wins for DeAndre Jordan, including tonight. Stephen Curry, courtesy of basketballreference.com. Let's see. Now let's go to the flip side. Which player has the most wins against Stephen Curry? How many L's? It's 24 L's against James Harden. I just said the answer.
So and there it is. James Harden.
Yeah. 28-24 against James Harden in the regular season.
Nice.
All right. That is your Tom's Trivia. Anything else we need to hit here, Amin, before we take this out?
No, I think we gave everybody a nice solid hour of basketball talk. We dug Zion and his fat ass in that commercial. We talked about the games. We talked about the extensions and the lack thereof. We talked about Ben Simmons and the device in his pocket. We didn't talk Kyrie, but you know what? Let's give Kyrie a break for the night. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Thank you for staying with us. It's 1:45 in the morning, and the NBA season is upon us. Ben Simmons has not played. I don't know if he'll play. Kyrie Irving, he has not played. I don't know if he'll play. But big slate of NBA Wednesday night. Thanks for listening. Levitard Show. Amin was impeccably sober, but still had lots of things in his throat. So thanks for joining, Amin.
Never doing this again. Not on the East Coast, at least.
Well, what does that mean for me? I'm staying on the East Coast. I live on the East Coast.
That means you need to move.
Yeah.
Xenophobe.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.